So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
This is RJ City, and you are listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Yordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Yordano Diablo.
And this week on the program, we're joined by the host of Roast Battle Cleveland at Forest City Brewery. And a very ancient and large friend of mine.
Prehistoric.
Why the fuck do I tell you guys that?
This is Chris Clem, everyone.
Welcome back.
Could you tell we've been talking for an hour before this?
Yeah, this is just like the sloppy second. You got to watch the other episode before. We don't even know when that one's coming out yet. So
this is like one of those crossovers that is unofficial.
I guess it would be unofficial. I was gonna say like the Arrowverse, yeah. like Cody Rhodes and fucking. Grant Gustin and all that shit. I like that Flash show. You ever watch that?
Nah.
It was a good show. I liked it.
Man, I don't have time to watch TV. I'm not one of those people.
That's why we're here. You have time to talk to us, though.
So let's get right into it.
There we go.
I'm about to be on this list after coming to do these shows tonight.
So, Chris, why do you hate bad parents?
Because bad parents, you know, they don't just affect their own lives. They affect their children's lives. They affect the community's lives. Okay. Because bad parents lead to bad adults that lead to bad communities.
So now I just have a question right off the rip. Like, well, this just popped right in my head.
Sure.
So, like, would you consider a bad parent? Like, I don't know. Let me just ask you how you handle this. You got three little ones, right? Well, mm-hmm. How's the oldest? Five?
The oldest is almost five. She'll be five in May.
Okay. So, they're all still little enough, but, like, all right. So, obviously, you even said the one was being, you know, a terrible bad baby today.
Yeah, they call it a three-nager.
Okay. So, yeah, because remember when we were young, it was the terrible twos. You had to stop being bad at three. You got your ass kicked. That's not true. My parents didn't kick my ass.
I don't know
ass.
If it's the girls or not, but they both started acting up when they were two.
Yeah, that was my sister.
When they were three.
That my sister was the same way.
And then my older daughter turned four. She immediately started mellowing out again.
My sister just got worse for a while. we weren't friends until she was a teenager. I love you, Riley. But so when you're going through the grocery, let's call it just grocery store. The whole family's there.
Sure.
Now, one of the kids just won't stop crying or just fussing, whatever. How do you handle that? Like, do you try to keep the kid quiet? Because, like, what I'm asking is, like, the
I feel I'm the big, you know, the great Khali.
This is not a podcast for gentle parents.
I just give
son chop.
would you consider a bad parent somebody who, like, just lets their kid just fucking cry up and down the aisle the whole time, pays them no attention?
Okay, so you asked two separate things right there.
Okay.
Because do I think somebody's a bad parent just because their kid's crying?
No.
Or, you know, you said let them cry the whole time. No, because sometimes there's literally nothing
you can do.
But when you added don't pay attention to them, that is, because if your kid's crying, you just be like, I'm gonna ignore it, but you do it for like 5 minutes and it's clearly not doing anything. Like, you either need to do something or just like figure it out. You should know your kid's good enough,
right,
to know.
Right. Yeah.
Here's a follow-up question around the same lines. How long do you let your baby cry?
Well,
we're talking about the youngest, yeah, right? Is what I'm assuming.
No, or just, it's in general? Just in general. Okay, because right. There was an incident earlier in my life that I'll relate to after I get your answer.
Okay, the first kid, as soon as she started crying, it would be like drop everything and run to go get her.
Right.
The second kid, as soon as she started crying, as long as the first one was in an okay space, I'd go get her. The third kid, it's like, okay, shit. I'll get to you when I get to you. Right.
But there isn't a planned, like, I have to let my kid cry so it can self-soothe thing.
No. I mean, sleep training or something like that. It's not even like we've been doing that, but I can get that. But no, there's not like, let them cry it out. Because when they're that little, I don't think they can even tell.
Right.
Like, they don't know what's going on yet.
Right.
There was somebody early in my life that insisted on letting her baby, like, oof, scream, because, like, she had to learn to self-soothe, and I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I
can say that she lost custody, so I think she was wrong.
That answers that, then.
I think the state answered that question. Yeah, and obviously, we're here to talk about what you think or why you hate these types of people. But I was just curious because, like, I see that shit because, like, I have three younger siblings. I know what it's like to be around kids and, like, what they need. And you're right. Sometimes they're just going to be a little fucking asshole and there's nothing you can do. But, like, when people just let their child disturb the whole surrounding and just, like, well, that's how it is. Like, no, you should be attempting to do something. That's all I'm saying. That's all I was saying.
I agree with that. And also, you have a different thing here where it's like, if it's my wife, she knows this is a fact. This is not me being like some woke idiot or a white knight. Women get judged way harder than men do when it comes to dealing with their kids.
Yes.
So
really?
Yeah.
Dude, I can give you an anecdote after
that. No, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If she's out in the grocery store and the kids started crying,
yeah,
everybody's going to look at her like, you stupid bitch. Like, you can't even handle your own first child. Now you're going to have another one. Like, when she was pregnant last year, people, and like our 2-year-old would cry, people would give her dirty looks for that all the time. Whereas if I'm there and they're crying, they're like, oh, this dumb idiot dad, he's doing the best he can.
I guess that it would be like the normal way of thinking, but mine is like, honestly, and it ain't white knight bull. It's just like, just from experience, like, I feel like I know what moms fucking go through every single day, and it sucks fucking ass. And then, like, the dad comes in, and people give him, like, a pass. Like, no, you fucking idiot. Learn how to raise your goddamn kids. Like, I'm the opposite.
I mean, you would think, but it's like, I don't know what happens. Women hit 60 or 70, and they forget everything they went through because nobody judges a young mom more old lady.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
They're envious of their fertility.
Is that what it is?
Yes. They have, since everything dries up down there.
We're going to stop right there. You had that at the drop of a hat. What have you been studying?
Menopause. Because
he's having a hot flash.
When can we roast battle again? Menopause.
I'm going through the chain, boys.
That's also why on the last podcast he was acting about the effects HRT would have on him. He's been running some experiments without us knowing.
Yeah, I stopped having my period and. My tits are saggier.
Now, Jeremy, what did your dad say when you told him? Was he a good parent or a bad parent?
My dad was very supportive. He said, you know, I am now an influencer for this wellness brand. I will show you that video after the podcast. 'Cause If you know, you know. But
is that what you were talking about before?
What, my father?
No, you said you had something to show us that you would have to do later.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the things.
All right.
The other that was related to Toronto, mm-hmm. but at any rate,
I will say, to be fair, he has a very busy weekend ahead of him, so like he is a little out of sorts, and work has sucked both days, last 2 days for him. So
yeah.
Everybody's an idiot.
He's got a busy weekend of acting like he's only attracted to himself and not Roman Reigns.
He doesn't get to watch Mania this year, sorry. You dick. No,
I don't. I'm missing Sunday WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah?
Roast Battle. Yeah. He's going to New York.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that's this weekend.
That is this weekend.
So Jeremy will have won when you see this episode. So
yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, I've done the research. He's going to win.
Do they end it after three if you guys are up 3-0?
No, there's so for those of you unfamiliar,
we should have talked about this on the last show.
Yeah. we should. You're right, but
this is what friends do. I don't give a fuck.
We so Roast Battle Cleveland is going to the Billy Awards in New York. It will have passed by the time this episode posted. But we are having a supercard battle with Toronto, where it's five of their battlers against five of ours. We get points for the league depending on wins and losses. So this is one of the shows where wins and losses matter. But you get a sweet bonus if you win all five. So that is what we are gunning for this weekend, is to win all five. And we've got really good battlers going, so I think we can do it.
All right.
Hell yeah.
At any rate, no, I'm not attracted to Roman Reigns. His
yeah, that you're, that's me.
that's more
that's of, hair envy. Is that what it is? Yeah.
No, yeah. It's I. You can ask anybody we watch wrestling with. Nobody loves the Samoans more than me.
Yeah. How do you feel about Nia Jax?
The best thing about her was when Cornette said she was a refrigerator with arms and legs.
Incorrect. The best thing about her is my hole.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot about that.
My hole.
She fell on the ring apron and screamed, "My hole," really loud, and it was very funny.
Yeah, it got lots of remixes and stuff. That was fun. But why? All right, so bad parents, huh?
Yeah.
Right?
Would you argue that Chris Benoit was the worst parent?
No, and you know why? Because he left Bibles after he killed him. Okay.
He felt bad about what he did, okay? There was remorse.
He said, "I killed my son and wife, but before I kill myself, I'm going to make sure their souls go to heaven."
If they're not already gone.
There are worse parents. Like, Casey Anthony didn't leave a Bible in that trunk.
She got a fat ass, though, man.
Casey Anthony, yeah.
She's thick. I mean, for real. I saw a picture the other day.
Human reproductive urges. Like, you would think if there was really something going on, you would know you can't get attracted to her, because if you get her pregnant, she's killing the kid.
That's a plus for me. Dude, she'll even go as far to not get an abortion. She'll wait.
Yeah, she'll wait.
She'll get a life insurance policy on that little fucker.
She's going to wait and be like, "Is that kid annoying you as much as they're annoying me?"
So, Chris, Casey Anthony, good or bad parent?
Bad parent. I agree.
Great ass.
If this was like 20 years ago, she'd be in Playboy. Does she not have like an OnlyFans at this point or what? I mean, see her with like a pink dildo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
She's going at it with a fuck machine as we speak. That's operated by the dings of her donations. The more dings there are, the faster it goes.
If I was a good comic, I would have remembered the names of the people Chris was complaining about from the Roast Battle feed, and I would have said, "Thank you for the donation," whatever that person's name was.
Thank you. Thank you for the donation, Red Right 88.
That's what you could do is you could, like, let's just use Casey Anthony as the as she's doing her thing. You're watching that. She's live streaming that. You're live streaming that, but you're looking at her screen and all the dings. You're thanking the people for her as she's getting the fuck machine.
There are people that is their job.
No, it's not.
It's gotta be.
Yeah, to thank people for donating.
While somebody's just getting maliciously railed by a robot.
Not that I've ever seen these things, but they do thank the high tippers.
Like, but that's somebody's job. Like, not the person.
They have enough of a fan base. I'm sure they have somebody operating in the production side. It's like, what about you guys have somebody operating the production side for this, right? And you're not getting $250 super chats.
No, we're not.
Neither is Chris, though.
We can't get super chats yet.
No, because you're the producer. That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, like, if it's somebody small cam girl, but if it's one of those big ones, like, if Casey Anthony had, like, a live stream, I guarantee
her dad is right there saying thank you for the super chats.
There's a podcast apparently called Casey Anthony's OnlyFans, but she doesn't have an OnlyFans.
This is what
breaking,
is it?
Breaking news from our producer.
No, people are going to type in Casey Anthony OnlyFans, and then that's why she named her podcast that, so they click on that.
Yeah.
All right. That was a smart move by her lawyer. I'll give. That was, I mean, shit. She got away with murder. Like, who am I to say she's not smart? Good parent, bad parent.
Right. So now that we've talked about probably the worst father and the worst mother, let's go into reality here. You know, is it a style of parenting that makes you a bad parent, or is it just the public decisions that you make?
I'm going to say, in my mind, the things that make you a bad parent are all related to how much you care about it. Like, you might not have, like, a nurturing sense. You might not be patient. But if you're trying and you spend time with your kid, I think you're a good parent. If you're the kind of parent that ignores your kids or mean, not even being mean, like teases your kids or stops them from doing stuff or just like, whatever, like that's not my problem to deal with. Like if you think like your kid has got like trauma or like a mental issue or whatever and you're like, well, the school can figure that out.
Oh, you mean like all of our parents?
No, that's my parents were pretty fucking proactive about that.
No, a lot of ours weren't. Let's just put it that way.
I mean, I would say...
Yeah, and what good did it do?
Not very.
In the millennial generation, I think they've said millennial dads spend more time with their kids than boomer moms spent with their kids.
Wow.
So clearly it's like a generational, like you're just saying, it's clearly a generational trauma that people are trying not to do.
Yeah, like trying to reverse.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's still people I know that are like, oh, whatever. Why does my kid need to play T-ball?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I have to drive him.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that really irritates me.
So it's a combination of it's a combination of a lot of things. I shouldn't say everything because like nobody's perfect, you know.
Right, but it's like one of those things where you don't know what people are going through, right?
Yeah,
I'm gonna try to keep this as vague as possible without like doxing any information.
Okay,
but I have coached my kids' sports and stuff.
Yeah,
and there will be parents that are like, you know, just you being there each week has like helped my kid because they don't have that with their dad or whatever. Like
yeah.
That. And then you don't see the kids and you're like, well, hopefully it works out for them in the long run.
Yeah.
But you can't do anything.
Right.
So that's why
right.
I said it becomes like community's issue because those kids grow up to be like neglected. And even if they turn out okay inside, they're going to be like.
There's always some. Yeah. Right. It's going to mess you up one way or the other. I mean, yeah, that is interesting. I mean, I look at like I do see the differences in like our generation parenting kids versus, I mean, like you know, I'm not just going to sit here and shit on boomers and stuff, but it's like their studies are there. Like they like, and they have this like cognitive dissonance, right, that they don't believe that anything we say is true, but it's like the proof is right there. And that's what's going to lead me to my like question was like, I think about adult parenting,
yeah,
and like I've talked about plenty on this fucking podcast. I've got plenty of issues with my parents, but like I think it's very. I was talking to my friend Jamie about this. It's weird that like it is a very boomer parent thing where they invade on your life. They feel entitled to their opinion on your life and how you should handle things. And I think that is so fucked up. Like, because I hate being quizzed on anything.
I would say there are definitely people like that. I don't have that for my parents personally. I've always been for better or for worse, kind of like self-reliant. So mm-hmm. like they've been a huge help. My mom watches my kids every week. My dad is there. He watches them. I'm not complaining about them. They're great. But for somebody who, you know, whatever I've done in my life, I've always been like, oh, he's okay by himself. Like, he can handle whatever.
Yeah.
So now as an adult, they're not going to be like, you need to do this with your kid, because I would just be like, you need to never see them again. You know what I mean? Like, and I want them to see them. We moved home specifically just to be closer to them.
Yeah.
But I lived out of state. I had my kid out of state. I had a life. You know what I mean? I've done all this stuff. I'm not a person who's scared to go do something.
Right.
So whatever they would say to me, if I think it's a good idea, I'll listen to it, and I'd be like, okay. But if I don't like it, I'm not going to do it. Whereas on the other hand, without getting into specifics, right, I don't think my wife has that good of a relationship comparatively with her parents. But they're more likely to tell her, like, you should dress like this.
Yeah.
You should do that. Whereas, and also it's like, I told my mom, don't let the kids look at your phone. Don't give them a tablet. Don't let them watch TV. They go over there, besides their little video monitor that has pictures on it.
Yeah.
She doesn't even turn the TV on.
Okay? That's good.
My in-laws, I love my mother-in-law to death. One day, they're watching the girls, and they put my daughter in the playpen, put a tablet playing Bluey on, and her and my sister-in-law were asleep on the couch. So it's
no,
like,
no.
Yeah. And she's great most of the time, but it's like, I get it, you're older, and it's hard to keep up.
Sure.
And it's like, a four-year-old, whether you know it or not, you might not remember how you were. Four-year-olds have a shit ton of energy.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
They're curious about everything. Same with younger and a little older, whatever. Like, under the age of eight, kids are maniacs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 100%.
And they want to know everything. They want to ask everything. They're kind of literal at that age when they're really little, so they're not going to get everything, so they're going to ask even more follow-up questions because that's developmentally appropriate for that age. So if you're like, oh, these kids are a lot, like, not to brag, my kids are incredibly well-behaved. It's not because of me. I would give my wife the credit.
Yeah. Right?
But
Kristen's the real champion. Like, let's just say it. We all love her.
Right. Anybody meets her loves her.
Big fan.
Like, I'm a sickly...
This guy's okay.
I'm okay. I am a sickly competitive human being, okay? Like, I have to turn that part
really,
off of
I
me.
Forgot about how competitive you can get. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to sidetrack, okay?
Yeah, dude, like, come on. That's what
I
we
get
do now.
So fucking competitive. I'm in an over 40 basketball league. We lost our semifinal game on Wednesday.
Oh.
I was furious because I played pretty bad and I fouled out, right? I'm playing against a guy who is the MAC player of the year, played professionally for 15 years. I'm trying my best. I'm kind of fat. I'm out of shape, right?
Which country did he play in?
I don't know. It was he played with LeBron, though, in high school, without getting too doxy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
There's only one guy that played with him that was MAC Player of the Year. So.
Yeah. You do the research.
He's a great guy. Anyways, so we lost. I was pissed about that. And then they sent out their list for the All-Star team. I'm one of the leading scorers in the league, leading rebounder, and I didn't make it. And I was like, why is this bothering me? I'm a 40-year-old man. It's just for fun. That's how sickly competitive I am about stuff that doesn't matter. And that's the thing I was saying before. That's why I'm not roasting right now, because unless I think I can actually be good and one of the best people in town.
You don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it.
Yeah. And
It takes work. And that's like being a parent. I don't want to be a bad parent. I don't want to be like, oh, that's the dad that doesn't know his daughter's best friend's name. That's the dad that doesn't know the kid's pediatrician name. Like, fuck no. I want to know all that. I'm going to study it like the stats. I'm watching tape, okay? I'm figuring this shit out.
Yeah.
And that's why I get mad at people who don't care about that, that are just like, whatever. Like, I won't play video games in front of my kids. Like, sometimes I'll let them watch me play, like, Mario or something like that, right? But violent game?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? I'm not letting them watch me play some Resident Evil or some shit like that. No way. And it's like, I know people that have played violent games with their five-year-old. And I'm just like, that's on a base level. That's something you could just so easily not do.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think at that early of an age, that's not a good idea. But I mean, like, I think it depends. Like, certainly not Resident Evil, because like that's terrifying for some adults. Okay.
This shirt, I don't know if it's even picking up on camera.
It's a Metallica shirt.
My 3-year-old daughter is terrified of this shirt.
Oh yeah, then no.
She said, "Dad, please don't wear that. It's too scary." Literally, she was okay with me wearing it today because I wasn't going to be home. She loves. She's a weirdo. She loves She-Ra and Skeletor from Master of the Universe, okay? Loves them. I saw the trailer was on TV. It wasn't even like I was letting her watch it. I got my work computer, and I got my like non-day job computer where I like edit videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'll put YouTube on when they're not there. And the screen was up for like the Master of the Universe movie trailer.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, look, it's Skeletor. And she goes, "That one's too scary for me." I turned it off.
This girl,
she loves Skeletor, because one day she came home from preschool and she was all sad, and my wife was like, "What's wrong?" And she goes, "Mom, nobody at school knows who Skeletor is." Oh, wow.
Man, I wish I still had all my old figures, because I know who I'd give them to.
It's so funny, because it's like, she loves She-Ra too, so.
Yeah. I was also a big She-Ra fan.
And she loves the Ninja Turtles. We had a Ninja Turtles birthday party for her. We saw the Secret of the Ooze movie, and
I went and saw it in the theater too.
Yeah, there was a lot of childless 30-something men.
Oh yeah, honestly, I got beat. He didn't even have to make fun of me when I told him this on Saturday. I was like, "Yeah, I went and saw A League of Their Own in the theater," and he just goes, the look and laugh he gave me, I was like, "Fuck you, it's a good movie."
He's had "This Used to Be My Playground" on repeat. Ever since.
It's true.
I think the thing I liked when we took him to the movies is that the guy at the ticket taker was like, he saw him walking up in their Ninja Turtle shirt, and he goes, "Oh wow, somebody brought kids to this. That's awesome."
Did you go to the Regal over by your house?
No, we went to a Cinemark in Cuyahoga Falls.
Okay.
That's a nice theater.
Yeah, it's nice. Nice theater. For some reason, the Regal wasn't showing it, because that's usually where you take them, because it's easy.
Yeah.
But that's another thing, like, there, okay? So there was a parent, this goes kind of like to what you're asking. There's a guy next to us that had like 3 little boys, right? And the kid, well, I guess they were behind me, because the kid kept kicking the seat.
Oh.
And the dad's like, hey, we can't do that. That's not nice to kick people in the seat. And it happened again. But every time the dad was like, hey, we can't do that. And then it got to a point where he made him sit on the other side. And I wouldn't even say anything, because this little kid kicking me, like, it's fine.
Your dad.
Right. But that was somebody who was like, okay, the kid's being disruptive. He's not screaming at him, but he's not listening, so he's going to move him to the other side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good strategy. Just stop kicking the cherry, little shit. How about that?
Whenever I had a kid with me that misbehaved, I would leave the theater with them. And
put them in the van and drive away very fast.
Well, that's a good joke. I don't want to step on it.
I did have a van for some of these occurrences.
Well, my daughter that's almost 5 is very well behaved. She'll sit in the theater and she watches it, and she's fine. The 3-year-old gets a little antsy after a while.
Sure.
So yeah. I take her out to the hallway.
Yeah.
We saw Mario. take her out to the hallway. She's fine besides that. But she's not, like, being disruptive, right?
Yeah. Mm.
But you got to know your kids. Like, I know my four-year-old will sit in the seat. She might ask me some questions during a movie, and I'm like, as long as you ask quietly, you can ask.
Oh, yeah. As long as you ask quietly, you can ask, and it's no problem.
Yeah.
But, like, the other one, I know she's going to get antsy, so I don't want to disrupt everybody else. So when she starts, like, getting out of her seat, I'm like, all right, let's go outside for a walk for a minute. And that's the other thing. You should know your kids.
How to approach them.
Right. Everybody should know their kids better than anybody else. You should not have anybody that can...
parent your kid better than you.
Right. They shouldn't be giving you any new information. You should know it already. Like, if the school says, oh, your kid did this, like, you should know that. Like, we got our report cards, preschool report cards. So it's like bad, good, or very good, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the four-year-old, everything was very good. And I could have guessed the two things that she got good or, like, needs work on or whatever.
Yeah.
Talking too much. And, you know, talking to her friends during class. Like, one of them was, like, talking when the teacher's talking,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I could have guessed that, like, before she even went to school. I would be like, oh, I guarantee you she probably talks too much, and she probably talks to her friends when she's not supposed to. Even at four, right? And that was, like, the thing I would get in trouble for at school, too. So it's like, you know what that is. And the same with my other one. It was like, she interrupts. She interrupts the teacher. Well, you know. At that age, it's kind of okay because they're little.
Yeah.
But it's like, you shouldn't know. You shouldn't get a report card and be like, what? My kid does this? Like, what?
Never.
Those are bad parents.
Right.
The people who, like, who think their kid, no, my kid didn't do that. Like, your kid's not fucking perfect. In fact, your kid's a little shithead.
Right.
Like,
so when I was a very young kid, apparently, my parents did not believe the preschool that I was a destructive little bastard. So they put, they like got me set up in a room and set up a one-way mirror and then like left. And they watched me destroy the entire room. Do you believe us now? Like, yeah, I guess.
You did you not do that at home, or they just didn't know?
Apparently not.
Okay.
It was just the reaction to being in the situation.
Gotcha.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, I was, I don't do well in situations.
This desk called Switchblade Shear.
Tell us if you guys want that on a shirt. I don't do well in situations. Jeremy Shear.
Honestly, that would be like, that sounds like it would be his WWE shop shirt in 2003. Be like, I don't do well in situations on the back. It's just Shear up there by the neck.
In three different colors.
No, I want Triple H to design my shirt.
So you so you want like a Nazi-ish...
Iron Cross.
I already have an Iron Cross shirt. I made it specifically to make him mad.
Guess what? I got the reference and I was like, fuck you.
I don't wear it out much.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. Or like a Hegseth tattoo. Dude, I saw somebody call him Keg's Breath today, and yeah. I was like, how is that?
You never saw that
before? No, I saw it, okay.
It was like Wine Mom Liberals like a year ago. Oh, they're God. On that shit,
oh,
dude.
Oh, God. Like, they fucking have any room to talk.
Well, they're not the Secretary of Defense.
No, so. Secretary of War.
Hey.
Secretary of War. Respect the title and the man.
They never officially transitioned. Right? They have to, like, get Congress to change their name.
No, dude, like, because nobody, they have power, but nobody takes them seriously.
Yeah, we don't need to get in politics.
No, not at all. That's bad parenting.
There's the next half hour there. Speak about bad parents, Donald Trump.
Yeah. Hey, Donald Trump's not a bad parent just because he wants to have sex with his daughter.
Just because he did have sex with his daughter. But I did just see a thing about his parents. Like, we don't have to get political, but, like, his dad was, like, a fucking horrible fucking person. And his mother, they said, was, like, maybe borderline, you know, tardo. And, like...
She looks like him in a wig.
Yeah, I know. Dude, but, like, even more misformed than him. Like, she looks like something out of, like, a Dune movie. Like, or like, you know, remember in the Matt, is it the Max Rebo Band? Like the thing that like got the clouded, like it looks like cauliflower with like a flute. Yeah. Star Wars, kids. Props to Brett Thomas for committing to the Star Wars bit.
Brett Thomas. I just like wrestling.
Dude, his WWE shirt.
The funniest shit ever.
Just the logo. Not even the Attitude Era logo. Just straight up look. Like, you know that came in, like, the WWE monthly box.
This is a good shirt to wear to my roast battle.
And then somebody,
was it Killius who said
that's nice that you wore the logo of the woman dismantling the education system.
Yes.
Oh, that was good. That's good shit. Really. Watch the roast battles when they come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan did great. We don't need to suck this guy's dick. He'll do it for himself.
Yeah,
so.
Don't worry about that. I always do. Bad parenting, the McMahons.
Talking about somebody that had sex with their dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pitch that angle as this is much CTV, pal.
What if I was the dad? I inseminated you.
He's a freak.
What? Yeah.
He's a freak.
Don't read those court
decisions. Dude, I read the whole Janelle Grant lawsuit. That was not fun.
Meanwhile, Triple H is like, I don't hear a race next door.
This is what we do.
Sounds like Vince is making movies.
However, me and Shear are not mad at WWE at the moment. We're happy with them today.
Good for you guys. I went to the gym. I saw Ice Cube's jabroni son interviewing R-Truth and Damian Priest.
I didn't know that. Why?
It's on ESPN. I don't know.
Well, Danhausen cursed Stephen A. Smith today.
They must have all been on ESPN.
Yeah, I guess. But no, they finally, Danhausen got to ride in this fucking blimp. Like, he's been talking about his blimp for years. Me and Shear were happy about that today.
I'm very happy for you guys.
That was fun to see. It's a long payoff for that.
Hey, I'll never shit on the guy.
Yeah.
I went to the first Forbidden Door, and he was just in a dark match, and the place went nuts for when he interfered to help whoever it was.
Where was that at, Forbidden Door?
It was United Center in Chicago.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Not about Danhausen.
This was a while ago.
Yeah.
Whatever, 4 years ago? Three? I don't know. Time doesn't matter anymore, guys.
Time is a construct that is irrelevant to this particular issue.
Shad Khan, good parent, bad parent.
I would say pretty good. I don't know. What's he like
you
at
think
home?
So if you had $1 billion, you just hand it to your kid?
If I had $14 billion.
Yeah, he does have a lot of billion dollars. He does.
I mean, whatever money.
He patented the bumper.
That's what it is, flexing gate.
He's going to make money. After he dies, he's going to make money. Family.
It doesn't even matter at that point.
No, yeah, they have more money than God.
It's like he could lose $1 billion and it wouldn't even matter.
He is right now with AEW.
I think he's making money, dude.
It's working, obviously.
It doesn't have to be the most popular thing.
No,
and I know you're like a big Cornette guy.
Yeah.
But I think they're making money.
No, I think I'm just teasing,
he
honestly.
He could lose everything and his dad probably wouldn't
get it. It's not going to matter. Yeah. No, I was teasing, really. Like, I'm honestly, like, I like that the creative is leveling out again. Like, because I like when they do well. It's just.
It's never been bad enough for me to be like, I should start watching WWE again, even when it was bad.
Dadums, yes, son. May I please have some money for more cocaine and Chris Jericho? Yes, son.
But, Daddy.
Hey.
Dadums, yes, son. Do I have to grow a stupid mustache like that to keep getting money? No, son.
You like that? In your mind, Shad Khan doesn't have, like, some super strong accent.
Yeah, because Shear normally goes heavy with the accents when he can.
He's got a chance to do a racist but, caricature. He's all on there.
Ooh, it's my chance to be racist.
So clip that one. I can't wait to see that in a roast battle promo video.
Oh, I can't wait to be racist.
Elton's already wrote the timestamp down.
Oh.
Yeah, next time I paddle.
Oh my god!
Next time I paddle a black guy, that's going to be on the promo.
So what would be better parenting? Giving your kid money for Chris Jericho and cocaine, or giving your kid son-in-law money to live out his Nazi fantasies?
$1 billion to your kid. $1 billion to your kid, for sure.
Sure thing, Paul. I don't know who this Himmler fella you're talking about is.
Wait, you guys want to name him? You guys want to name him? What was his fuck? Gunther Stark, the fucking Nazi U-boat captain. Like, you're gonna tell me that they didn't know? Like,
there's a guy who's got a Nazi memorabilia collection, and he's like, I've never heard of the guy.
Beats me, pal.
No, he's talking about Triple H, who probably inherited Lemmy's fucking collection.
What do you mean they were in a war?
I thought this was just heavy metal.
No, you don't understand biker culture. You see, the swastika was used by bikers.
It means peace.
There was a tattoo studio recently that tried to use that argument of why they should still be allowed to display swastika flash in their windows.
Well, I mean, at least when somebody does something stupid like that, you know who they are. Yep. You know what I mean?
Have you guys ever seen a swastika tattoo on somebody in person?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, have Mr. Biker.
In rehab, this dude. You go ahead. I'll go ahead. Go ahead.
So, my cousin,
the Nazi. Ooh, I like where this is going.
On my Jewish side of the family, of course. Brought her new husband over. I can't. Fuck it. I'm just going to say. His name was Brick. And he had a swastika.
I was going to make a bite the curb joke. And like,
he had a swastika tattooed on his chest. And my grandmother, like, we were all like, let's not talk about it. And he sat down and played the piano for a little bit. And my grandfather was like, oh, that's very
fucking
nice.
Ride of the Valkyrie?
No, it was not Ride of the Valkyrie. I don't even remember. It might have been Chopsticks for all I know. But that was like what the conversation pivoted to whenever he came up around my grandparents
so
for a while.
Was he like shirtless? How did you know he had it?
I got the lowdown before he came over.
AKA Jeremy walked in on him in the bathroom.
Uncle Brick!
in my mouth!
This just means if this was somebody his cousin was attracted to, that performative edginess runs in his genetics.
It skips a lot of people.
Yeah, it skips around. Like,
sorry, you got a bad case of edgelordism. Yeah.
Now you have. No, I can't say that on the show. God damn it.
No. That was a mess. But that whole thing is over now. But right, that was a childhood memory. Mm. Of like, oh, we have to get
that's
this
crazy, dude.
So you're saying that relationship reached its final solution?
Yeah.
You can edit that out.
No,
he's not gonna edit that out.
No, dude, are you kidding me? Half the good material on this show is about Nazis.
God damn. I should have watched some more episodes of the new ones.
I'm not bringing back the Hitler counter.
No.
The Hitler counter is retired.
Yeah, but it was a good joke for a while. And it's only retired because they moved his desk. That's it.
No, I changed it to Jordan's shirt ideas, which I have to add another one to the counter there. Because more merchandise ideas have come up.
Yeah. I was going to say, you asked, like, a guy, like, with a swastika. It's not a swastika, but... And this guy was a bad parent. Oh. So, while I was in rehab, like, one of them... Like, they did meetings, like, all the time there. And this guy... Yeah. This guy would come, because, like, he came through, and he was supposedly... I say supposedly, like, I shouldn't, but... He'd supposedly sober for, like, 3 years. And, dude, his kid would run around the fucking whole campus just like a little four-year-old fucking terror. And we had this old black guy who was fucking awesome, my dude, Stanley. And we're sitting there one day, and this kid is running around, and he comes up to us, and he looks at Stanley, and he goes, "Get away from me, spook." And we were like, "What the fuck did you just..." Like, if the kid would have been within... Hey, I would have slapped the shit out of him. And, like, I was like, what the fuck? And then I find out who his fucking dad is. I'm sitting behind him in a meeting one day. He's got a fucking SS tattoo on the back of his neck. And I was like, okay. So, yeah, people were like, well, you can't be mad at the kid. It's not the kid's fault. I'm like, you're right. But his supposedly reformed father, who's in here doing this, fuck him, because that kid learned that word from him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, fuck that.
I mean, that's an old-timey
And the dude's our age. And the dude's our age. Like, he clearly did time. He was obviously in the AB. Like, yeah. Whatever. But, ugh, gross.
This is just for you guys to dunk on me. I've only seen a swastika tattoo once in my entire life. It was at a Kid Rock concert.
Of course it was.
That's so on brand. Where at, Blossom?
No, it was at San Bernardino, California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Inland Empire.
He plays California?
Inland Empire, oh, Nazis, yeah, are the worst.
It was packed, actually.
I'm just saying, because, like, now with how liberal California is and shit and how you...
Dude.
There's just... You gotta remember how big of a state it is.
Yeah.
As liberal as you want to say it is, or woke, it's got even more racist there than anywhere else in the country.
Yep.
I was telling you, NoFX wrote a song, when he was in rehab, he wrote a song called Huntington Beach Nazis, oh. And he said that, like, there's these two streets intersect, Reich and Heil, and they have a fucking bar called the Eagle's Nest on that street.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
I don't know if people around here would know that, but, like, Orange County, it's super racist.
Like, skinheads, yep, and yes, shit, right?
There's a reason why it's, like, the only Republican county in Southern, yeah, California.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really racist. There's like, really bad parts of California. And while I was an independent wrestling fan, I drove to many of them.
Yeah.
They would have a ton of shows in the Inland Empire. Those people love wrestling. Empire Wrestling Federation has been going for, like, 30 years, one of the oldest indies in the country.
Really?
Yeah, but they're fine with Mexicans. They're super racist to black people.
Oh my god.
Like, the fans I'm talking about. Not the promotion's fine, and most of the people are fine, but the people in there, I don't know if it's because there's so many Mexicans, they're like, we have to accept you, but they're still super racist to everybody else.
Didn't your boy Excalibur drop an N-bomb?
That's not my boy. Excalibur is like, I don't want to talk bad about any wrestlers, but he's one of my least favorite, like...
personalities?
Yeah, he adds something, but he should be, like, the third Mike, not the first Mike.
Yeah.
Like Mike Tenay.
It should be Ian Riccaboni.
He's good.
In my opinion, he's the best commentator in wrestling right now.
I disagree with both of you. I think it should be Tony Schiavone.
I agree with him, yeah.
I think Tony Schiavone should get whoever he had in his ear in WCW so that every single match is the greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of the world. And I think he should tell more people to go to hell. And I think the Tony Schiavone Britt Baker friendship was one of the few good things that Britt did outside of like 3 or 4 matches.
I mean, it was good character.
Britt early on had some fucking bangers, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the women's roster was super thin there, Britt carried that shit for a while. I mean,
she did. I'll always
like her.
I mean, it helped. She was like the first woman they had that could get over on the mic, so that would get the crowd more into stuff.
Yep.
That was like when they started, and you convinced me to watch them. Everybody was like, "Oh, it's like a work rate promotion," but it was actually a promo promotion, which is honestly one of the reasons why I have a hard time watching WWE. Is they still script way too much.
Yeah.
It's just, once you unhear, like, people being scripted, and then you hear it again, it just, unless they're super good, it's just not.
That's why when I texted you about that Punk promo, like, it was like, that was the best one I had seen in so long. I was like, that was, because he knows how to blur the line, because he's old school enough that he fucking knows what to do.
I mean, I still quote his one AEW program when me and my wife are talking about something, and I'll just be like, tell me when I'm telling lies.
Yeah, I share that gif all the time when I'm trying to fucking say something dumb on the internet.
It applies to a lot.
Oh, yeah, to tell me when, and he dropping the fucking, yeah, that was great. And, but also, like, the, I still, even though it wasn't, he was cutting a promo, but it was just him being punk, is when he said, I'm old, I'm tired, and I work with fucking children. I say that shit, I'm just like, God damn it, I'm fucking irritated.
This is, goes back to parenting. The yeah. one thing I'll talk about, because my kids are at the age where they really want a ton of attention.
Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy. We'll be like, we're at my parents' house, they're quietly playing, and my sister and her husband showed up, and all of a sudden, my kids are like, oh, look at us. Oh.
Yeah.
Like, they want their attention so bad. And that's like the gif of him bowling. And he looks at the camera and he's like, pay attention to me. Yeah. That's kids. And you got to be ready for it.
Yeah. That's, I mean, they, because like my mom always said this, like, my sister, like my, like Riley, the one who's 6 years younger than me, like, whenever we were being babysat or whatever, my sister was always well behaved for like those people. Always, the moment she got around my mom, she turned into the devil.
They say, child psychologists say it's because that's where they feel like safe. They don't, they know they won't get hurt for acting like that.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
That's why it's like a common thing. A lot of it times, if you have like a, say this correctly, you got like a neurodivergent child, a lot of times they can hold it together and stuff. But all kids in general, there's a lot of kids that when they're with their parents, they act worse than school. You know?
Well,
what I mean?
it's because it's mask off. With neurodivergence, like, you don't have to mask with your parents.
That makes sense. But I think that's the same thing anyways, because like if you have nice parents, I should say, because I don't think it applies to everybody.
That's true.
If you go to school and they're like, you're in timeout, or they do something, or they punish you, and your parents are like, I don't know your mom, so I don't know if this is it or not. It's like, oh, you're fine. Like,
yeah.
They're going to be a fucking asshole. Well, Jeremy, that makes sense, too, what you said.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, even like around new people, some of my neurodivergent relatives, kids, and my own kid, it was like, mask was up, behavior changed, but like as soon as like they're home and they don't have to mask anymore, like now it's like, okay, we have to reset.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Chris says that goes for any mental illness with young people.
I mean, that makes sense. It's like that was, I think, I know people actually get mad if you say this, but it's like, we all have, you all are in a situation where you can't be fully yourself sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, if the people at my work, if I ever would let them be my Facebook friend, which will never happen.
Yeah.
They'd have a much different impression of me.
Yeah, I, like that whole, when you're, you know, when you're younger and you're in your 20s, whatever, like, yeah, you make friends with the people you work with, whatever. Right. But at a certain point, you're just like, people be like, oh, are you on? Nope, I'm not on anything. Yeah. And that's why, like, dude, if you search my actual last name, old shit comes up,
right.
But my shit now, nothing to do with it. Love it.
I got to change. I need a stage name for that reason.
Yeah.
Because people were looking me up when I was coaching T-ball.
Oh, boy.
Nothing bad happened.
No.
I'm like, I don't even want them to know.
I mean, dude, it's going to be people, you know, our fucking age.
That's
so,
true,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's not like, not everybody's some fucking
hello, parents of Stowe. For those of you researching Christopher J. Worthing here, for his readiness to coach softball, let me assure you, that hair is not the only lesbian thing about him. He is amazing at softball. Amazing.
Yeah, I should.
You should just do it in drag.
Yeah, there we go.
Or that's illegal now, isn't it? In Ohio? They're trying to make it illegal now in Ohio?
The problem is that certain people... certain people involved with Roast Battle Cleveland love to put on the sheets each month that the show's being hosted by the Ultimate Jizzer and the Ultimate Jizz Warrior, or we'll put a clip and tag me in it and be like the ultimate jizz warrior. That's the shit I don't want to be associated with. I've never met the ultimate jizz warrior. I don't know who he is. If Tony Schiavone met him, that's great.
This guy doesn't know the power of jizz.
I've never loaded a condom with the jizz, okay? I mean, not in that sense.
Not with three kids, you haven't.
I know, that's the thing. I have three kids in 2026. Everybody thinks I'm either rich or like a psycho.
No, he's an idiot. What he is. No, you're a great dad. I mean, I will say you are just like observing. Like your kids fucking love you, dude. Like
they
you are their hero. Like, and that's
they think I'm way cooler than I am.
I think we all think you're way cooler than you think you are.
That's probably true, except Chris.
He thinks you're a jizzer.
Yeah.
I will say I don't know how good of a parent you are because your kids are not terrified of me. But the one thinks I'm Skeletor, probably.
Yeah, she probably. That's the thing is that I don't I don't want to, like, it's nothing I would complain about, but I know certain people in my life would be hit if they like spoke too much when they were a kid or like were too energetic as a kid. Yeah. But it's like, my daughters, they go to the park, they make friends, no problem. They go places. They don't have, like...
They have normal fucking kids.
Right. They don't... They're not, like, going up to strangers and just being like, oh, hey, give me a hug.
Right.
But it's, like, normal. And I try to tell my wife, like, do you want a kid that's, like, able to just go talk to other kids and be friends and play with them? Or do you want one that's scared of everything?
And sometimes you do a fucking screen.
Sometimes you can't help it, but it's, like... If you get that, sometimes they're going to talk too much. Like, that's just what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the thing where it comes to being a good parent. Do you want what's best for them or do you want what's best for you? If your kid's got a ton of energy or, like, needs to burn it off, do you get them in sports or do you just complain about them annoying you?
Sure.
I'm not saying sports answer for everything, but...
It's like having a big dog in an apartment. You got to go let him run somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Your kid needs help with schoolwork. You got to help them. You had the kid. I get it. Lots of people, this is why they're bad parents. They have a kid they weren't ready for or they didn't want. And unfortunately, I'm related to a lot of people like that. But if you purposely had a kid and you choose to have another one, you're living with them, you're married, you have money, you have no excuse to not spend time with them, to not help them with life and learn. They didn't ask to be born. You chose to have them. And it's not even like a soapbox thing, but some kids have a harder time with something. Some kids have a harder time with other things. I'm not saying all kids are good. And I feel really weird talking about this because I've had it incredibly easy with my kids. Not even anything I did. They're just naturally well-behaved.
But now you have a different perspective when you view other parents.
Well, right. And I've seen it firsthand. Like, that was one thing I really liked about coaching T-ball. It's like, cause everybody's like, my kid's weird and doesn't behave. And then you see it and you're like, this is literally, every kid is a freak.
Yeah.
They are. And you wouldn't know that if you don't spend time with kids.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't want to punish them for being a kid.
Right,
you
know, be a kid,
feel safe, learn things, do things together. I guess my point is, like, I feel immense guilt even talking about this as a subject because somebody could say, you've had it really easy with your kids. You have three girls that are fairly well-behaved. They do fine in school, and it's true. But I do think if something does happen or I do have problems or whatever, I still think I've learned enough to know you could be to work on that.
I think saying that, like, you've had it easy, I think that negates the work that you and Kristen have done as good parents. I don't feel that's a fair argument. I really don't.
I do think it's very much helped us that we've always been exposing them to stuff and doing things with them even when they're little. Like, I'm not saying going out to eat is like a big deal.
Yeah.
But like, we'll go with the baby. We have to go to the park. We go to the museum. We go do things. And it's
you're
like,
a family.
The more they get exposed to things, the easier it is to do.
Yeah.
So if, like, you have a kid who's 5 years old and you don't do anything with them ever, and then you have this big function and you got to go out to eat afterwards and they act a fool the whole time.
Right.
You can't get mad at the kid. That's the first time they've ever done this.
Right.
And you're the one that chose to not do it for 5 years.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of the exposure training was coming out to eat with the sad boys.
Oh, she loved it.
Yeah, she had a great time.
Like, I mean, kids love doing stuff like that. And I'm not going to be like, every time they see somebody that's weird looking, they're okay with it. Sometimes it is a little scary. Mm-hmm. Saw Jeremy at the park. They probably would not talk to him. But
I see Jeremy multiple times a week. Still scares me every time, dude. So with I got to say, though, with all this talk of He-Man, since I didn't do the joke shit, I got to tell him this
Go
joke.
Go for it.
All right. So this was one of the first ones I wrote for you, and I didn't use it. Jeremy's favorite cartoon was growing up was He-Man. The closest he ever got was Skeletor cosplaying as He-They.
Just kidding.
No, that was good. I made him get up on the AJ episode, too.
He didn't have the energy to get out of the scene. Right?
Accurate. Chris, where can we find you on the internets?
You can find me on Instagram at ChrisClemNet. My profile picture is a drawing by Brian Gallagher. It's a cartoon. I need to get headshots. Not happening anytime soon.
I think you're more than capable of having somebody point a phone at you that looks halfway decent. There it is. Yeah, recreate your Funny Stop headshot. Yeah.
Just do Mick Foley, dude. Cactus. Bang, bang, dude.
That's what's up.
It's
Chris Clem Net because Chris Clem, I don't know if you know this, is the Gorton's fisherman.
Is it really?
Yeah. So it's so the net is a reference to the thing that he uses to catch his fish.
At Chris Clem's Cavs Cast.
Yeah, I was going to bring that back.
Dude, Devin was like, is he going to bring that back?
I paid for the domain and everything and got the hosting set up, and I could tell you why off air, but then I didn't do it.
It wasn't Devin who said it. I forget who said it. Somebody said it. They were like, is he going to bring that back? I was like, I don't know. That'd be sweet.
We have too many things to talk about off air.
I know.
So
yeah. Sorry.
So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates bad parents as much as Chris Clem.
No, there is another.
And scene. All right. I won't apologize again. I'm a repeat offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care. Mistakes. I keep setting up and falling on my face. Feed me numbing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge vapor. Daniels is drunkenness. I keep a bruise in my brain and under the punches.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.